From the Love Worth Finding Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love Worth Finding. Carrie, here in December, we're in a series, A Parade of Miracles with Adrian Rogers. It's all from the Gospel of John, specifically seven miracles that John wrote about.
And you know, the seven miracles highlighted in the book of John were intended as signs. They carried a validation or proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God.
Well, shortly after this message series was preached and ultimately published, we had the chance to do an extensive interview with Pastor Rogers on the biblical perspective on miracles. So we asked this question to Pastor Rogers, why this series on miracles and why these miracles in particular?
The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, and he tells us clearly why he wrote the Gospel of John. At the end, he says this, many other signs, many other miracles Jesus did. He said, I haven't given all of them, but he said, I have given you these. I have selected seven that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. So you believe in miracles, but you trust in Jesus. And in these miracles, each one of them talks about something significant that Jesus Christ will do for a person when that person trusts in Christ.
Oh, that's great. You know, this month you can listen to this entire fascinating 30-minute interview at lwf.org/radio. It's a great way to get additional insights from Adrian Rogers on this message series.
Well, Carrie, today's message, Jesus is God's answer to man's disability in John chapter 5. And we're talking today about the man at the pool of Bethesda under the heading, Jesus is God's answer to man's disability.
You know, when Jesus came to Bethesda, he miraculously healed just one person.
And you know, you can look at all of these miracles and draw the conclusion that Jesus came to be a healer or a miracle worker. But in our interview, Adrian Rogers refutes that notion and speaks to the motive behind this particular miracle.
Now, Jesus did not come to this earth to walk on water. He did walk on water, but that's not why he came. He didn't come to feed 5,000. He did feed 5,000, but that's not why he came. He didn't come to open blind eyes. He did, but that's not why he came. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when Jesus opened blind eyes, he said, I am the light of the world. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he said, I am the bread of life. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Look behind the miracle to the message. He didn't heal everybody. There's a story about Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. He'd been there for 38 years. The place, the Bible says, was filled with people who were sick. Jesus healed one and walked out. Now, if he had come as a healer, he would have healed them all. He didn't come as a healer. He came as a Savior. He chose that man and healed that man. He literally did it, but for a greater spiritual lesson, because here was a man totally paralyzed. He could do nothing, and Jesus healed him. What's the lesson? That while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And so it'd be a tragic if people get enamored in the miracle and miss the message.
You know, our bodies are frail. We get sick, we die. But if we're following Jesus, our inward selves can be renewed each and every day. Dr. Rogers said that John did not write the gospel that paralyzed people might be healed. He wrote it so that the lost people would be saved.
Oh, let's remind our listeners too, Carrie, that they can listen to the complete 30-minute interview on demand at lwf.org/radio.
Hey, and while you're there, check out our free offer to the radio listeners this month, a family Christmas treasury from Adrian Rogers, only at lwf.org/radio.
Well, with today's message, Jesus is God's answer to man's disability. Here's Adrian Rogers.
One of my friends that I've had in past years was a man named Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson was the strongest man in the world, literally. If you met Paul, you would meet a man 5 feet 10 and 1/2 inches tall, not very tall, but he weighed 375 pounds. His neck measured 23.5 inches around. How'd you like to buy a shirt for a man like that? He had a 23.5-inch neck, 22.5-inch upper arms, had a 50-inch chest, 35-inch thighs. Many of you are not 35 inches around the waist. He was 35 inches around the thighs, 20 inches around the calves. I often heard Paul give his testimony, and people would ask him, were you ever once a 97-pound weakling? He said, yes, when I was 4 years old. just a big man. Had incredible strength. Paul Anderson, back in 1955, went to Moscow. He's virtually unheard of. The Russians held all the titles and the major titles in weightlifting. Paul Anderson there bested them all, and astounded them as he won the world championship in weightlifting. And the Russian announcer said that he was a wonder of nature. Later on, Paul Anderson began to do feats of strength. On an occasion, he lifted 6,270 pounds off the ground with his back, more than 3 tons. This man lifted that weight with his own body. He's in the Guinness World Book of Records, and according to them, that is the greatest weight ever lifted by a human being. He was a stellar athlete and an even more stellar Christian. He had a kidney failure. He died at 61 years of age, and he wound down to the grave. Strongest man on earth, but he died. And if Jesus doesn't come, so are you going to die, no matter how much strength you have. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's us, folks. All human strength will utterly, ultimately fail. But the Bible says, though our outward man perish, our inward man, the real man, is renewed day by day by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great problem, therefore, is not what is going to happen to our bodies, but the great question is this: do we have that inner strength that God wants us to have? Now, this miracle that we're going to study tonight is going to tell us how to have that kind of strength. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, please, if you will, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. By the way, that means house of mercy, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That means they had no strength. They were without power. That's what the word impotent means, without power. A blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk.
Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who he was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, let me give you the background here. It takes place at a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And that literally means at the House of Mercy. If you've been to Israel, as some of us have, it's just right outside or right inside the Sheep Gate where Stephen was stoned. And you go to this place, this pool, it is still there. Actually, it's about 40 feet below street level now where this miracle took place. God, the Lord Jesus, showed His mercy to this poor man who had been sick for 38 years. Now, it was something like a health spa, and all around on these porches are sick people, some of them with withered limbs, some of them were blind, some of them had maladies that perhaps you may be afflicted with, but only worse. They were there hoping for a miracle. And yearly, when the water would bubble up, God in His mercy would perform a miracle, and whoever stepped into the water would be healed. Now, Jesus came there, it was on a feast day, and He went to one particular man. There were many there, but Jesus chose one. This man had been waiting in line for 38 years. At least he had been sick, paralyzed, and invalid for 38 years. I don't know how long, really, he had been there at the Pool of Bethesda, but for a long time, waiting in line, trying to inch closer and closer to the water that he might be in the water, the first in the water, and to be healed. And Jesus asks him a profound but a very simple question. Do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? And that's a question not only was Jesus asking that man. Now, that's a question Jesus is asking you. He's asking me that same question tonight because this man is a representative man. Jesus is not merely in the healing business. He only healed one there. The Bible says there were a great multitude there. Had Jesus been a great healer, He would have gone from place to place, from person to person, and healed them all. But He just healed this one man. Because what He is doing here is a miracle with a message, He's teaching a greater spiritual truth. As a matter of fact, after He healed this one man, we're going to learn that Jesus just silently, almost stealthily, slipped away. Had He stayed there, they would have clamored after Him. All of the people would have come to Him to be healed, but He did not come as the great healer. He came as the Savior, and these miracles were given that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that we might have life through His name. And so, I want you to learn again what I'm saying, that we need to go beyond miracles and on to Jesus. We believe in miracles, but we trust in Jesus. G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher and teacher of another year. G. Campbell Morgan said something very significant about the miracles of Jesus. G. Campbell Morgan said that every parable that Jesus taught was a miracle of instruction, and every miracle that Jesus wrought was a parable of instruction. Now, he didn't mean that the miracles were not real, but that there is a miraculous message in the miracle. The very word for miracle here in the Gospel of John is the word sign. It means it has a significance. The first four letters in the word significance are signs. These are miracles with a message. So Jesus didn't heal everybody that day, but Jesus healed this one man. And Jesus healed this one man to get a message across to all of those of us who feel that we need spiritual strength, because spiritually, as we're going to see in a moment, by nature we are paralyzed and without strength. In Christ, we have power for living. Jesus is God's answer to man's spiritual disability. Now let me give you an example that will prove how this miracle is working. The physical healing is only temporary. It's not really all that important. You think it's important that you get healed. I think it's important when I get sick that I get healed, but God probably doesn't think it's nearly as important as we think. Because God has a greater plan for us and a different plan for us. Do you remember, and this is not the same story that we're studying now, but in another place in the Gospels, there was a man who was brought to Jesus by four men carrying him on a stretcher. Do you remember that? And Jesus said to this man, "Son, your sins be forgiven." Now, when Jesus said that, people began to murmur and complain and to criticize. They said, in effect, "Just who does he think he is? Who is he to say to that man that his sin is forgiven? Only God can forgive sin." They were right about that. Who does he think he is? And then Jesus said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Sir, take up your bed and walk." Jesus healed him physically only to give a credibility to the spiritual miracle. Jesus did something that they could see so that they might understand and believe that which they could not see. Do you understand the importance? The important thing to Jesus that day was not healing that man's body. The important thing was forgiving his sin. The healing of the body only attested to the greater unseen spiritual miracle. And so it is with this man. And so we're going to learn three things tonight that will help us to have powerful living, that will help us to understand in the spiritual realm that Jesus Christ is God's answer for man's disability. Here's the first thing you must do if you would find the strength this man found so long ago. The first thing you must do is to validate your weakness. Validate your weakness. Admit that you're weak. Now look, if you will, in verse 5. "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man really represents you and me without the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the problem with many of us is we will not admit that we are spiritually paralyzed. We will not validate our own weakness. But let me give you a verse of Scripture to put in the margin. It's Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Listen to it. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." The Bible describes every man without Christ as being without strength. He's just like this impotent man. That's what the word impotent means. He was without strength. And therefore, he becomes an illustration of every man, woman, boy, and girl without the Lord Jesus. Now, think with me as we're talking about validating your weakness. Think about the primary source of your weakness. Where does your weakness come from? We'll go to verse 14. What was this man's problem? "And afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." The primary source of this man's weakness was his sin. Now, not everybody is sick because of sin, but this man was. And I think that's the reason that Jesus picked this man out. This man's sin and this man's weakness had a direct connection. And so after Jesus healed him, Jesus said, "Now don't sin again lest something worse happen to you." The point is this, that the primary source of our weakness is sin. We're sinners by birth, sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and sinners by practice. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But now here's something else I want you to see. Not only the primary source of your weakness, but I want you to see the paralyzing force of your weakness. Many of us do not realize that spiritually we are paralyzed. You may say, "Well, I'm not weak. I lift weights. I'm very strong." I'm not talking about physical weakness. You may say, "Well, I'm not weak. I have a PhD. I'm not talking about intellectual weakness. You may say, "I'm not weak. I have $1 million in the bank." I'm not talking about financial weakness. I'm talking about spiritual weakness that has paralyzed you. Now notice the text that I gave you a little bit ago in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Do you know what our weakness is? Our weakness is that we don't have the strength to be godly. We're without strength, so Christ died for the ungodly. What is God's plan for me? What is God's plan for you? God's plan for all of us is that we be godly. We don't have the strength to be godly. I don't care how hard you try to be godly, you don't have what it takes to be godly. We are without strength when it comes to being godly. You see, you may be strong to do as you want, but you're not strong to do as you ought. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. The primary source of our weakness is sin. The paralyzing force of our sin is that we cannot be what God would have us to be. And now I want you to notice also the persistent course of your weakness. According to verses 5 and 6, this man had been this way for 38 years. Can you imagine being paralyzed, impotent, debilitated, without strength for 38 years? What happens to a man when he's paralyzed for 38 years? His muscles begin to atrophy and to wither. Every year that this man was there, he was not getting better, he was getting worse. His muscle tissue was disintegrating. And so it is with a man, a woman, a boy, a girl without Christ. The longer they live, the worse their condition. That's the reason that no man should put off giving his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, because tomorrow you only have more sin to repent of and less time to repent in. You see, the primary force of his weakness was sin. The paralyzing force is that he cannot be godly, and the persistent course is that it goes on and on and on, but down and down and down. Now, if you would have what this man had, what you must do is validate your weakness. You must say, "God, you're right. You're right. I am without strength. I'll lay my pride in the dust, and I will admit my need." Now, here's the second thing. Not only must you validate your weakness, but you must activate your will. Look in verse 6. Look at it. "When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" In modern English, will you be made whole? Do you wish to be made whole? What is your will in this matter? Now let me say to each of us that we must activate our own will. God will never coerce your will. God will enable your will, but God will not coerce your will. If God were to coerce your will, if your relationship with Him is forced, then you're no longer a man, you're a machine. And God could have no fellowship with a machine. If you want to come to Christ, you may. But if you don't want to come to Christ, He'll not force you. The Bible says, "Whosoever will may come." But if you don't want to come, there are not enough angels in heaven that God would allow one of them to drag you down this aisle. But if you want to come, there are not enough demons in hell or out of hell or wherever they may be to keep you from coming. God has given you a will. And our Lord says to you, "Will you be made whole?"
And coming up tomorrow on Love Worth Finding, we'll hear part two of this important message. But maybe as you've listened, a prayer request has bubbled up in your soul. At Love Worth Finding, one of our great honors is to come alongside you and pray with you and for you. If you can, go to our website homepage at lwf.org/radio and scroll down to our prayer wall. There you'll find the option to either submit a prayer request or pray for others. This is one of our favorite ways to keep the ministry and the community praying continually for one another's needs. Let us hear from you today. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and scroll down to our prayer wall. And join us tomorrow for the profound conclusion of Jesus is God's answer to man's disability, right here on Love Worth Finding.